hearts. Are you ready to eat?
Amen.
We're hungry. Very hungry. Okay. Okay, my dear ones, my sermon is called Aggressive Christianity. I want to talk to you today about how easy do you let go of the revelations that God gave you. You know, often we say, oh, receive a purpose or a dream, go towards your dream. You have to make it as a person. You have to be someone. You have to make something of yourself. You have to get onto a platform and take your place in God. But those people that need these answers, what are they to do? And what if they can't make it? And the Holy Ghost tells me they cannot achieve their dream or something in me because they left what I gave them by thinking that this is a small thing is not a call from God. Can I just not agree with you? Not everything that God gives you starts with something big. Amen, church? Often it starts with so small that that person that totally trusts God is able to carry and keep this revelation from God. You know, by thinking and moving, constantly searching. And you know, why people think ministry is this great big thing, dream is something, this great big thing. No, all the great big things start with small things. Jesus said, faith as a mustard seed. He said, from this mustard seed, a tree grows. We're walking, searching for trees, and God is saying, everything starts with a small seed. My dear ones, today I want to talk to you, those of you that postponed or forgot your call, thinking that this is not it, this is small things that I don't want to deal with. You know how sad is it to look at Christians that give up their position without a fight? Nobody even battles them. They just give up their position. Why? You know, I'm amazed how some people, they think somebody wants to take away their nightly prayer. I know some groups and people from different places call me and write me, and they tell me, you know, what am I to do, Pastor? Everyone is going against us. They want to take away our nightly prayer. I ask him, how many of you? And they say, 5 people, but we want God so much. We want His glory. And everyone around us right now, and they're telling us, you don't need it, forget about it, you're just wasting your time. And I tell them, continue praying. My dear ones, some think that they fight only for a nightly prayer so 5 people can gather together and pray, but they don't understand that they're fighting maybe for their whole city. They might not understand that by fighting for the nightly prayer, all the demons are concentrating on you, and everything that they need is to take this prayer away from you, and you can't even imagine. Apparently, the secret is in that prayer. Apparently, in this small thing, and everything is in that. Apparently, this is it. And right now, you give up. It was taken away from you. You don't pray anymore. You're sitting. You gave up. Your batteries ran out. And what about now? Who needs all of this? I want to ask you a question. What are you fighting for? What are you defending right now? I find more and more Christians that do not battle for their positions. They give up. Why would I battle? I want this. Yes, okay, we take it. Why would I fight? I don't need this. We're not going to deal with this. And our Christianity is this fuzzy, tolerated Christianity that, you know, is everywhere with demons and the world and everything. Why there's no power in Christianity? Because Christianity is without power, because it was taken away. Problem is not in that something is being taken away from me, or somebody wants to take something away from me. No, a lot of people want to take things away. But the thing is, am I going to let it go? Problem is in that you think they just want to take you out of this church or that church for no reason. Reason they call you and they tell you, go wherever you want to go, except there. Guess why? Guess why? Listen to whatever you want to listen to, except this. God have mercy if you listen to this. God gave mercy. And we sometimes think, okay, I give up. And you don't even know that right now you're not putting away the sermons. You did not just stop going to church. You stopped growing in your dream. You, right now, you just stopped watering the seed. Apparently, it is only watered by this and that. Everything else does not water it. Your spirit will show you what waters your dream and what doesn't. Your mind will explode. Everyone around you will say, this is not yours. Don't go. Don't touch. And notice that until when you're not going anywhere, nobody tells you where to go. As soon as you find yourself and you make up your mind, everyone tells you, you can't go there, you can't do that. And I can't even imagine, where were you before when I really didn't care about everything? Right now, everyone is smart. Everyone is a teacher. Oh, no. There is something inside my spirit that I'm not going to sell to anyone. I'm not going to exchange it for anything, and I'm not going to give it up. Amen, church? There is something that I see. I did not care about opinion of people. You have to renounce that. A lot of people will attack you and try to take away the dream. And it's those that don't even have a clue what you carry inside of you. My dear ones, everything big starts with small. Sometimes the devil just confuses us so much that we search for great big things. I always talk to people, and everyone usually searches for great big things. Today I'm going to tell you a story about my life and about certain people in the Word of God. Nothing started with big. I didn't start big. You know what it all started with? Have I kept my dream? How would I keep it? How long do I have to keep it for? Until you receive. How long did I keep it? 12 years. What happened? Crazy stuff. Chaos, war, betrayal. I was keeping it with myself, and I know what I was holding on to. If each and every one of us would receive a revelation, what we fight for, we would all fight and not give up. But because we just only see what we fight for when we want it, then, my dear ones, this is why there's not a lot of champions. That is why there's not a lot of Christians that do things and not just watch. Jesus, raise up your champions. My dear ones, dream. My dear ones, there are things that we put on a shelf. We think what I was in, maybe washing toilets, or I'm in the kids' ministry, or changing water, or I'm on the door. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with my calling. I'm just doing it. Just doing it. I'm moving. You don't even understand that this is part of it. You just start growing. And from one position, you'll transition into another. You have to understand, for Joseph, for his dream to come true, and for what he saw to come true, he did not come into the house of Pharaoh, from the house, his house. From his house, he got into a hole. Interesting way. Then, from this hole or this pit, he got into slavery where he was sold. There was an auction. From an auction, he got into the house of Potiphar, bodyguard. And somebody might say, oh, my dream come true. No, it's not true. Everyone did not bow down to you. Those things that you saw, they did not happen. Sometimes we accept, we let go. Because it's a little easier. You know this feeling? Well, I'm just a little better. I stopped smoking. My relationship in the family is getting better. It's easier, and yet you're not heading further, and you accept that. But this is not the main thing. And when you let go of your dream and concentrate on this thing, you lose it too. My dear ones, there is a dream. There is something that he has put inside of you. Continue moving. And that woman wanted to seduce him. No, he decided not to. Please tell me, what is the purpose to fight for something, for instance, Joseph, and not to say anything in the future? There is no way out. And you can sit there and you say, there is no way out. There is no way out. There is no position. You know, I'll just accept what I have right now. And could have slept with that woman and could not even understand that right now. Well, that, for instance, if he would have slept with that woman, he would have left himself forever in that house in that house. Right now, the wife loves him. Right now, he lives in a lie. And he cannot leave the house. Apparently, to get onto a throne, Pharaoh's throne, he needed to be in prison. And because he didn't make it into prison, certain things didn't happen. Certain people had to get into a prison that would meet Joseph, and he would tell them about their dreams, and afterwards the Pharaoh would find out. We don't know this, for instance. You think, I cut it off here, I will make a bargain here, and you want to have shortcuts, but not keeping your dream, and you don't even understand what you're fighting for. You cut corners, you know, have shortcuts, and you don't even understand. That breakthrough comes from that place, that you want to avoid. And so, you feel a little easier. What else do you need? I am loved here. I have a position here. Well, some people love me. Some people love me more. And so you accepted this position, you let go of everything else. What happens? What happens is that if Joseph, what was he fighting for anyway? He was fighting, first of all, for moral. He loved God. He was rooted in God so much that he did not give up his position. He did not give up his position. He said, I will remain standing no matter what. And please, look what his truthfulness got him into, even in more problems. And here I am. I was a slave in the house of the bodyguard. Now it's even worse. I'm in jail. What for? My dream got me there. Then who needs this dream anyway? Explain to me. Oh, dream is not over. You have not seen. I want to ask you, is there something that you have that you rooted upon? If not, listen to me very carefully. You're not alive on this earth. You don't exist. You're just a gray mass that is existing and just working, fighting, got married, divorced, had kids, and so on. And you know how there's this one joke. You have to live your life so wonderfully that when you pass by kindergarten, everybody screams, Daddy, Daddy. A joke. And so you live your life and you come out and who are you? You're no one? You have to understand. You become a person of great importance when his dream comes into your life, his purpose. That's what makes us somebody of great importance. And if you don't have a dream, you don't have a purpose, you don't have life. Otherwise, everything is an instinct. You need to get married, you need to get a car. You think it's your purpose? No, it's an instinct. You have to keep yourself warm. So, for instance, you need to keep yourself warm, you get a nice coat, like animals, for instance, or you need to sleep around, so you find different measures to do that. You know, I'm going to tell you how to find out if you're moving. If you're moving forward, you are hit with resistance. You know what resistance is? You know that only resistance comes out against something that moves. If you face resistance right now, that means you're moving. If you have no resistance right now, that means that you're standing still. As soon as the ship stops moving, the water just keeps it afloat. As soon as it starts going, the waves just break against the boat. And as when I start moving, I face with oxygen. I feel it. It resists me. I want to ask you a question. Do you have resistance? And by answering that question, you can answer yourself if you're moving into the future, my dear ones. Resistance, only those that are moving have resistance. And if you have crazy, crazy resistance, all the demons go against you. You cannot do anything. You cannot explain what happens in your life. No, right now you're fighting for something big. A lot of people just break at this point and do not even understand that you're fighting for something great. And right now you just lost it all. And what happens now? How many people in this life that I'm sure when we'll get into heaven, all of us that gave our life to Jesus and were washed by his blood, he will show us who we were supposed to be if you're not going to make it here on this earth. Each and every one of us is a great person, a champion, a victorious warrior. And I want to ask you a question. Stop reading the stars. You have to be a champion. life, a spiritual life is totally different from this flesh life. Yes, there's champions here and this great mass of people. In God, everyone is a champion. Everyone are the sons and daughters. But if you're a son, you cannot be poor in a spiritual sense and just constantly just making it by. You have to be a great person. Men of faith, I understand why I am hated. I am a person. A person has his own opinion. You know, who does not face resistance? Those that lost their personality, you know, their opinion. How are you feeling about abortions? I don't care. You know that category of people? They will not answer you until you answer. Because what if he answers wrong and you get upset with him? I don't care. I'm a person with my own opinion, and I teach you to have your own opinion. Even if I don't like it, you're a person and you have an opportunity to have your own opinion. And you have a right to have your own opinion. I like Paul. He said, if this is not it, then God will teach you. But important thing is move and think and live. Become a person. Don't just adapt like a chameleon. Running on the ground, he's brown. On the tree, he's green. And we're always like this. You come into this church, oh yeah, you're charismatic. You come to another church, I have nothing in common with them over there. I know what I'm talking about here. We don't raise hands. Okay, we changed all the books in the house too. What if somebody, some brothers come and they see what I read that should not be read? My dear ones. Who are you? Are you a chameleon or are you a person that lives in aggressive Christianity? Oh, aggressive. Such a strong word. You know what? We have to get back into that position. Remember Jesus? Would he give up his position fast when people would complain, oh, you don't need to heal on Saturday, on Sabbath, for instance. And that's exactly what he did. No. He would heal in every synagogue, every Sabbath day. Why, Jesus? You're irritating people. God has called us to peace. And he said, I am not creating anything until I see God created. You know what? God wanted to irritate people then. And Jesus would tell him, Father, please, not on Sabbath. And he said, no, on Sabbath, heal on Sabbath. And Jesus was obedient. I'm telling you the truth. Jesus said, I don't do anything until I see the Father creating it. He couldn't just do anything by himself. He needed to see the Father. He saw Father walking in water. He went on water. My dear ones, who are you? He was doing such things. He would say such phrases that disciples, some of his disciples would leave him. You know, God has called us for peace. We have to find out what the sheep think. Sheep don't have an opinion, for instance. What are you led by? Whose opinion? Their opinion? And they ask, what your opinion is? And you know what? We stopped being individuals. You know, in our neighborhood, we had this fight where a group beats up one guy because he's so strong that no one, one-on-one, cannot fight him. That's why they attack him by a crowd. You know when people attack me with a crowd? I know where I stand. You can't hit me one-on-one. You hear me? Become an individual. Grow up. Become a person with your own opinion. Just root yourself in your revelations. What does God tell you? What did God tell you? God said, we're going to Arabian countries. No, he said here. Into the darkest places, that's where the Christians need to go into so you can shine the brightest. We need to adapt ourselves where it's the most comfortable for our behinds. Oh, we have persecution, let's run away. Oh, economic is falling, let's go into Bolivia, for instance, and ride camels or donkeys. What is this? This is not funny. Why are you laughing? I mean, sometimes you want to cry. Christianity, that is, does not have a backbone. Nobody fights for anything. No one's aggressive. Do you want our opinion? No, okay, great, never mind. Do you have your own opinion? You know, some people who don't like me, they just write and post things on the internet, and they put them out, and they say, we hate you, you're a clown, great, you're a champion. We put it out there. Let everyone see what you think of me. You're a person. You're an individual. You haven't a right for of a voice, my dear ones. You know what? God cannot give us anything great because we cannot keep our small revelations in our life. God gave you something. Start with this. Oh, nobody sees this. Amen. That's exactly where it all starts, where nobody sees it. Because as soon as you're visible and you're not ready, you'd want to hide. Oh, my dear ones, because when they will start seeing you on this level, you know what kind of warfare happens on higher levels? You need to have a backbone because everyone will call you and they will want you to hear to a new version of your sermon. You said, great, but you need to cut out 99.9% of your sermon. Just keep the name, but cut everything out. I don't get it. Go by yourself a podium and speak and say whatever you want to say. You're an individual. Go ahead. No, sometimes people want to control you. And when you tell them, go do it. Oh, no. God gave me a word for you. If you're an individual, God gave you to do something, go and do it. Show what you're made of. Show what you revelations are possible. What is possible with your revelations? I want to see you in war. I want to see you with a sword. What are you fighting for in your family, for instance? How you're defending your revelations from God? How? It's so interesting to give opinions. No. Just learn. Actually, show me how you do it. I want to see before you teach me. People jump from revelation to revelation. You know why? As soon as God gives them something, no one thing. What God gave is never going to be achieved easy. Nothing is achieved easily. We enjoy the great men of faith in the Bible. Daniel, for instance. What a great man. You know, he was very aggressive in his revelation. He wouldn't even shut the windows when he would pray. He needed something, and by fighting for it, he has received. And then everyone else got into trouble once he received what he was fighting for. What are you fighting for? Another example, three brothers or friends, guys, Sidrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we shall not bow down. What? You're going against everyone? Yes. Why? Because we don't believe in the idols. How is that? We'll kill you. Okay, kill us. I don't get it. Where are you from? We can't even be truthful when we fill out taxes. I'm not even talking about here defending the truth that God gave us. Our Christianity is just too watered down. We need people to raise up those people that will irritate everybody else with what? With their lives, with their fire, with a call from God. Sidrach, Meshach, and Abednego would irritate everyone. And the other guy said, okay, fine, we'll burn them down. And those that were throwing the three guys into the furnace, they died themselves. You know, a lot of people wanted to get rid of me. But you know what? It didn't happen, my dear ones. What are you standing upon? What are you defending? What foundation is in your life? If you have roots, you know that the tree, for instance, come up to a tree and I move it. You know what happens? You could try bending it, but it will go back into its position. You know why? Because it's longer in its roots than at the top. Explain to me. Did you ever have time in your life where you're growing down with fruits? You know what? We want to be like mushrooms. I am anointed. Like a mushroom, just appear out of nowhere. No, send a bear, for instance, would come and just release himself upon you, and you know what? And you're dead. You know what a mushroom is? You know what? It comes up fast and it dies fast. You grab, at the top. He's not even rooted in the ground. He's right on top of the ground. It's a fungus. I don't want you to be a fungus. When the seed is being planted into the ground, first thing that it does, it releases the roots down. We don't want it to happen this way. We want to go upwards. You're a mushroom then. And mushrooms are separated from true trees in the directions that they grow. Joseph, for instance, example, he got into a hole. He was buried. And the brothers would play the cards and just make decisions. Should we kill him or sell him? Kill him or sell him? So they put him in a hole. My dear ones, does anybody put you in the hole somewhere? No, not yet. They'll do it. You know why I'm saying this? So you will know how to remain standing. When you have a revelation from him, his revelation, my dear ones, it is impossible to bury you then. They'll try to squish you down and it's not going to happen. They'll prophesy into your life and it's not going to happen. You know how many prophets I got rid of with my own life? How many different notes would come into my life? Different books would just come into my life and underline scriptures or phrases that God told me. And different tapes and all this nonsense came to me through all these years. You know what? You have to know who gave you or who gave you your revelation. You have to know that I am going, heading in salvation of this nation, of restored life. Lives, transformed people. If there's something that you're walking towards aggressively, we're not aggressive because the root has been taken away. We are not upon foundation. We can be replanted fast and easy. We can be put in our places fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 9:24, 1 Corinthians.
1 Коринфянам 9:24. Смотрите, что пишет Павел.
Look what Paul is writing.
Кстати, мне нравится Павел.
You know, I love Paul.
Призван самым последним.
He was called last from apostles.
Который не вошел даже в какие-то
He wasn't even in the 12, well, you know, 12 apostles. He, you know, one, he was more successful than everyone else. He wrote the 2/3 of the New Testament. And you say you're nobody. Who told you that? You and the devil. Who told you who you are? Even my own opinion about me is wrong. Do you know that? What you think about yourself, you're wrong. When he tells you who you are, you'll be shocked. You will be shocked from what he shows you. And you know how I saw myself? In my dream. I woke up, I was, wow, I'm amazing. Who had this? Who had this? Raise your hand. Lord, give them all great dreams. 5 people raised their hands. I know, even the elderly receive great dreams. Who told you who you are? We grow up, and the surroundings tell us who you are. Oh, you can't hear very well. You have 2 left legs. You know, you have no rhythm or whatnot.
And
until you get to be 30, you know what I'm saying. Everyone tells you who you are, what you can do, what you cannot do. Nobody's going to marry you because you are short. Or because you're tall. And God will find a bigger one for you. You know? While we're growing up, they'll tell us who we are. And we grow up with this picture of ourselves in our mind. I do not sing. I do not do this. I can't do that. I love to build things. That's it. And now you have this picture of you, who you are. As soon as you come to church, you know, inside the church, they will paint the picture of you too. You cannot speak, you cannot pray. You know what? Forget it all. Give your father an opportunity to tell you who you are. I am amazed how from simple people in the Word of God, you know, they raise up to be great champions. You know why? Because they don't listen to anyone to accept the one that gave birth to them. Listen to me. The one that has created me, he has the right to speak into my life. Everything that I think about myself or what you think about me or about yourself, it's wrong. Every time I have to repaint the picture in my mind because, again, I'm wrong. This is why Paul said, I do not judge me. God is my judge. Who made you up? Who told you where you have to go and move into? This is where we start to be different, because you were put there, they anointed you, they ordained you, they gave you this. Did God give you this? You could be three times thrown out and betrayed, and three times nobody ordained you, but if God called you, you will grow. Five mushrooms are around this tree. Will be born and die, born and die, but the tree is growing upwards and upwards and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Another mushroom comes up. Oh, you're going to die, you're going to die. Nope. Next season, the mushroom is not there, but the tree is growing and growing. And then you see a mushroom farm. A big mushroom and the little mushrooms. And then they dry out. And then somebody came and cut them off for soup. My dear ones, who do you want to be? Who? I want to be a rooted individual. I always say this. The rules of life are like this. Everything big starts with small. All small starts with big. All big ends small, and all small things, you know, they get into big things. You know how many times I've seen this? Something starts in a grand way, grand entrances and beginnings and great awesome things, lights, camera, action, announcements, you know, applause. You know, next year it's smaller. Following year it's even smaller, and the next year they're not even here anymore. What this is, you know, this is mushrooms. And your next thing, who is this? Oh, die, go away. You know those revelations. The foxes will walk by your wall and they will fall. But the wall is being built. Those that thought that they'll never enter this church, they're in my team. Strangely, but true. I'm telling you the truth, you know? And you're amazed. Every year you have to be stronger, better. You know why? Because you have found where you're rooted in. Some people say, I'm growing such a long time, I'm just sitting still. Do not worry about it. Do not worry. That means your roots are growing. You're growing. Read. Feed your roots. So what if you have no apples at the moment? Not a single apple tree brings apples in the first year. And if it does, bring an apple, you know how it tastes. It does not taste so good. It's something that small, and you don't get it. Is this a cherry? And it's bad, rotten, you know. We understand that first fruit is not that awesome in a tree. And look, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Paul, a unique person. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? But only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. Then they do it to receive a perishable wreath. But we, an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. And you say, oh, you have made it. They came out. Who am I? You know what, my dear ones? Paul, he was not only a nobody. He was a person that was destroying the church of Christ. Isn't that so? What did he do? He repented, changed his life. God has called him. And he, you know, he was a champion. He, you know, was the first one. And you know what he does now? He's still feeding churches throughout this world. Paul. Who is Paul? People feared him. God made him this great individual, a great person of the New Testament. You know why? Because he knew what he was standing upon. He knew where he was heading. And I'm asking you, where are you going? You know why you change churches so easily, friends? You know, because you adapt. Listen, if I chose this place, I remained here. God told me to move. You know, and that in 17 years, God in my life did not give me any other revelation. The single thing that he said is salvation and restoration of my generation. That's it. Some people, I'm just in shock. Oh, God told me to open a mission. In a year you come, he has no mission. You come in 2 years, he's playing drums. God told me to be a drummer. You know these people? You just don't get it who he is. Next thing you know, he's teaching. Who are you? And a person, as soon as he faces some sort of hardships, he gives up his position and looks for a softer place. Why would you strain yourself? Why would you want enemies? Why? Some say, you're making enemies for yourself. No, I'm defending my position. By defending my positions, I get enemies, you know? I'm not making enemies. I don't even know these people. You understand that people will attack what you say because they don't like what you say. You know what? Because they would have to do two things. They either accept you or say anathema for you. You know? To accept you is to accept everything that you say. It means to change and to speak in a good way about you. From the side of relatives, it's just, you know, receiving, you know, a whole bunch of nonsense from your relatives and to, you know, give you to the devil, which is anathema, you know, means it's easier. Just don't deal with it at all. And then you're amazed, and the brother comes, and I've never seen the guy, and he knows all the sermons from 1995. And he said, in 1997, you said this, and so, and, you know, a couple of years before that, you did a better job saying it, and I don't even remember any of that stuff. They all know it all. They hear it all. You know, that church, everything. 5 times. So you're not, you know, miss anything. My dear ones, who are you? What you do right now is not popular right now, but God is not preparing you for today only. He's preparing you for to go into the future, far into the future. And the interesting thing is, amen, give God glory. The interesting thing is that that was not what was not popular in 95. The interesting thing is the most popular thing in 2005. You know why? Because you need somebody needed to defend that. We're not planning on doing this. We're not planning on doing that. Right now, you know, you watch these programs, inventors, for instance. 10 years ago, everybody was laughing at electric cars. Oh, look at this little car. Look how funny it looks. Look at the small wheels. 10 years ago, huge trucks, huge SUVs, you want to fit in 2 parking spaces, Lincolns, huge Mercedeses. When the gasoline became $5 a gallon, you were ready to drive, ride a donkey. And now these small cars that you used to laugh at, there's a line to get them. I'm telling you, there's a waiting list. Go on the internet. They have a back order for 2 years into the future. For these tiny cars, you cannot even buy them. You will not be able to buy a new one because you got to get in line. And that guy that was imagining, inventing this, these cars 10 years ago, you know what? He saw the future. And he did not leave his dream behind. You know, the guys that used to drive big cars, they'd laugh at this guy who created the little car. And you know, and now who's laughing? And I ask you, what do you mean? Do you have something inside of you? What you have inside of you right now might not be popular and not look so great at the moment. How is it? How? How is it? You know, time goes by and you don't get it. Apparently, God was leading you in this direction. Hold on. Get rooted in Him because He knows that only from prison you can get into the onto a throne. And if you'll not get into prison, you will not be on the throne. How I love this. Aggressive Christianity. God is searching for those people that are based upon something. You know, it's easy for me to see friends because no one's just going to attach themselves to me. Oh, we'll see who he is. Everybody knows who I am. Don't take a CD. I'll tell you right now who I am. All you need is one sermon to understand who I am. My dear ones, who are you? This is why for me to see who's around me. Friends, God is you know, bringing the same guys. Where's this team from? Why are they doing it all for free? You know? You know why? Because they see it with my eyes, and I see things with God's eyes. Whose eyes are you looking at things? You know what? You know the secret? If you, you know, want to buy someone, you just pay him, and you buy him, and you pay more and more and more. And then it just all breaks because, you know, you're trying to buy it. But if you have a revelation from God, you just hold on. I was holding on to mine for 12 years and I didn't know, should I move on or what should I do? And God said, this is the time. Me and my wife, we had a revelation. He said, right now is the time. The time is now for your revelation to come out. And then it just started and you don't even know what is happening. Can I take a break? Why? My dear ones, what are you rooted in? What are you defending? Are you bent right and left easily? You know, you could, you know, if you have some sort of revelation, you can totally find an answer for it in the Bible. You know, it could be bent different ways into different revelations. That's why we have so many different denominations. Everybody has an opinion. Matthew 11, 12. Unique scripture. Matthew 11, 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Amen. And violent men take it by force. Explain to me physically. How do you do it? Do you strain yourself? Oh, right now I've used violent force. No, how? Explain to me, you're a believer. From, you know, since you were born, you're a Christian. Explain to me this scripture. How do I use force? How do I use violence to take the kingdom of heaven? How? I'll explain it to you right now. By defending your position, you know how I find these revelations? I find out who said this revelation? Jesus? Oh yeah, I look at his life. Was Jesus beating people up? No, he was defending his revelations. They told him no, he said yes. They say yes, he'd say no. You know, looking at an individual, for instance, like Jesus, I know who wrote it, and by looking at his life, I understand what he means here. By using force and violence, how are you defending that nobody... For instance, a revelation that's not needed by anyone. How are you defending? How are you defending it? For instance, Anna. Or, you know, she thought she's fighting for her baby, for pregnancy. She said, Lord, I'm not leaving this place until I have a son, until I have a son. And the prophet Eli would tell her, you know what? You're drunk. No. She said, no, brother. This is how people pray, for real. Because what you do over there is not a prayer. This is a prayer. And this prayer got to God. You know, no matter how strange it looked, God heard her. You know, some people pray and pray. You're not praying to God. You're praying so the public can hear you. I've seen how people pray for real. In an accident situation or, you know, they scream and everything is in that prayer. God, forgive me. God, forgive me for what I've done. Amen. You know what? God is listening to your heart, not nonsense that you're saying. Oh, precious Lord, I have come before you in this wonderful hour. Do you even mean what you say? Okay, never mind. Another sermon. I don't have much time. Anna. She was carrying this fruit inside of her, this child. She did not even have a clue that right now she was battling over there in the temple, not just for a son, but for the one that brought freedom to the whole Israel, for prophet Samuel, that one that anointed David, a person that, it is written afterwards, after his life, the whole Israel would worship the Lord. Eli before him just perverted the whole of Israel. All his sons just sleep around and just people would be disgusted with them. But when the anointed prophet came from God, the Israel came back to God. You can't even imagine what you're fighting for right now. You don't even have a clue, but you will see when once it is born, and you will be shocked and say, Lord, apparently this is what I was fighting for. This is what I was defending. This is it. You know what, my dear ones? In 1993, many, many years ago, I did not know what I was defending. Everyone, all the brothers came to me, all the deacons, all prophets and whatnot, and they told me, stop, brother, you're in occult practices right now. And I would turn around and I see changed lives, people with that delivered from evil spirits, and you'd see there's nothing with these deacons, there's nothing except, you know, words in their life. I was 18 years old. I did not know anything. I was yelling to God and I said, I want something. I didn't even know what it was. I would just turn around and say, Lord, anything except this. I don't want this. God, have mercy. Anything besides this. If I want to be like these guys, just kill me now. What do you mean? I mean slavery and death. Somebody who does not share that opinion, I have nothing against you. I wanted life. I wanted life. Church, I want life. Life. Freedom. Baptism. Deliverance is the glory with signs, wonders, and miracles. And for the people, when they look at us, you and me, they would know what is inside of you, and they will receive freedom and answers from God. This is who Christians are. Oh, Jesus, raise up your champions. What are you defending? What are you fighting? What are you fighting? What are you intercession for? Who would want to write a book after your life? Someone that was right next to you. Would he want to write a book about you and say, and in there and just say, we had this great individual amidst us? Oh, we never think about it. I want you to think about it, because we all in God's eyes are the same. Someone understood that and somebody just did not get it and does not want to get it. Somebody just find where he's at. I'm speaking to those that want movement, want breakthroughs. Somebody's brains are frying up right now. Of course, you've never seen some like this. And you're used to sleeping, and I'm here screaming, always interrupting the sleep. Sleepy time. Amen. I did not know in 1993 that I am not defending my nightly prayers with a couple of people there. I did not know, my dear ones, that I am defending and fighting for thousands and thousands of souls that have been transformed this day. I know what I'm saying. My team knows what I'm saying. My dear ones, we do not understand sometimes what we carry within ourselves. And by not understanding, we leave it behind. And by leaving it behind, we leave great things behind. And sometimes you think, what's so big about this prayer? That's where it all starts, for instance, in that incident. You know, somebody said, I'm not going to let go. Let go. No, I'm not going to let go. I understood one thing. It couldn't possibly be any worse. How many times are they going to throw you out of the church? Okay, one time is plenty. How many times would I be, you know, given to anathema, which is to the devil? You know, you get bored after 6 or 7 times. I want life. All these laws that were written by the hands of people, throw it away. Come before him and tell, let him tell you who you are. When he tells you who you are, you and everyone who is around you will be shocked. They'll be amazed. Where is this all from? Why is he so anointed? You know why? Because I love my God, and I will never sell my dream that he gave me when I was 18 years old. You know what, my dear ones? What are you defending? What are you rooted in? What is your foundation? Oh, if you don't know, then I feel sorry for you. Second Kings, chapter 13. I'm running out of time. Are you receiving something for yourself here? I want to teach you to be aggressive. We were taught love, but wrong kind of love. We were not taught love, but we were taught submission. Jesus had a strange sort of love. He could sit with a baby on his knees, and on the other hand, he would have a rope in his hand and just beat everybody up. I want to ask you, do you have children? Yes. Do you punish them? Of course. Either way, some use spanking methods, some put them in the corners or, you know, whatever, different methods. Why? Because you want them to be good. This is love. Love is not one-sided. I let him do whatever he wants to. Do you know who you're raising up when you let him do just about anything they want? Love has different sides. Remember Elijah? I love this story. I read about and talk about it often at encounters to Elisha. Was dying. And king came to him, remember? And he was crying over him. And Elisha told him, open the window and just let the arrow out. He told him, this is the arrow of deliverance. And then Elisha steps back and he said, hit the ground. You know, my dear ones, this was strange in the ears of the king. And that is why king only hit the ground three times. Tell me, for instance, if the king knew that from these arrows, you know, his nation's destiny would be in these arrows, would he shoot all of his arrows in? The fact is that that he did not know. God will ask you to do something, and He will take away understanding or sense, common sense. He wants to see how you want this. If it means to hit the ground, then it means to hit the ground with all the arrows. If God puts you in this position, move. Do whatever you can to make it. God gave you a revelation.
Some
people, you find the revelations change every day, like the weather. Oh, I can't go into a mission because nobody gave me the money. Or God gave me to do this, or nothing happens. What happened? You know, always some sort of nonsense. What? When God gives you something or tells you something, it says that God is not changeable. He does not change His word. He told Moses one revelation, you will lead Israel out of Egypt, and that's what he did. Joshua received one revelation, you lead my people into the promised land. Be strong. One revelation. You know, when God changes the revelation, when you have, you're finished with the first one, when you have got that position. It's like a navigation. Some of you have navigation, you know, machines in your cars. There's an arrow pointing which direction to go to. What is it going to tell you always? 2 miles, in 2 miles, turn right. You're so tired of it. You push the button and it tells you. In 1.5 miles, you turn right. Until you turn, make that right, it's not going to tell you anything else. You could cry out to God, Lord, I'm tired, and He'll tell you, go straight ahead, head straight ahead. You know, if you get off the road, the navigator will tell you, get back onto the route. Imagine that you're in the car, and your goal and purpose is a navigation system, and just listen to what it tells you. You think you know a detour? And the navigation will tell you, you a dummy. No, kidding. I want this thing in the navigation. And we tell you, you're in trouble. It means you have to run away. Oh, yes. And the navigation tells you, head in this direction. If you take a wrong turn, the navigation will tell you, great. Make a detour. If you get the right direction, and He'll tell you, great, now you would have to take the turn here. For instance, God gave you something when you were 18, and you forgot about it, turn around, get back on the road. This is what navigation system does. It will make you turn around and get back on the road. And this is our life. We're always in detouring and, you know, turning around. And then when you're 50, you realize that He was correct. God was correct. Yes. If God told you, head in right direction, go straight, fast until you get blue, then do that. Joke. until you receive what He told you. He told you, you will see. Yes, you will see when you get there, if you don't see it now, but you will eventually. You know, it's easy for me to explain and use explanations that are understood by everyone, and every time you'll see a navigation system, you'll remember this sermon. Last scripture, 2 Kings. Kings, chapter 13, verse 18 and 19. Then he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. And he struck it three times and stopped. Oh, if we would all know what we're doing right now, we would not do it this way at all. Apparently, from your prayer right now, the one that God put inside your spirit, apparently He told you to go do this, get to know these people, leave, move, pay, come here. This is where it is all in the small things. You want to go over there? No, until you make a turn over here, you're not going to get there. Hit the ground. Okay. 1, 2, 3, that's it. Why? Prophet turns around, and he got angry. He said, you should have been hitting that ground 5 or 6 times. and now you're only a victory three times. You know, I'm sure the king wanted to shoot all of his arrows, but it was too late. Too late. Please, do not be late. Do not be late, because some of you don't have time to go back into your relations. Why am I saying this? Because he told you, stop poking him and walking around different prayers, different prophets. God will take you back. He will point you in the right directions. You'll know where you left it. I am right over here. You think
that
your ministry is something great and big. Remember? King that was a leper, and right now a prophet is going to come, and he will call up. He wasn't a king, he was one of the centurions. And he imagined in his head that God's just going to appear supernaturally and do this and so. You know what? Erase your hard drive. Delete. Delete. Take it all out. You know why? Because it's in the way. Your mind is in the way. I am waiting. Here it is. And you know what? It's right there. Waiting for you. No. That's not it. No, you're waiting for something big. No, it's something small. And right now, prophet is going to come. He's going to call upon the name of his God, and he will lay his hands upon me, and I'm going to get all goosebumpy, and the healing comes. And this old man comes. Go take a dip in the river 7 times. Have you ever seen Jordan? It's not a big river. Sometimes it gets bigger.
And
this centurion said, aren't my legs better? Why did I come all this way? And there was the servant that was wise. You know what? You know what? Go take a dip in that river. Sometimes you think, this is it. This is it. This is the river that will bring me, what, freedom? And sometimes you paint such a picture in your head, and all your breakthrough is in this small river that you just passed by many years ago, and now you have to go back and be an idiot and dip yourself into the water 7 times up and down. God will tell you to do something that you never even thought of, and if you do think of it, you laugh at it. And what happened? And he was healed. My dear ones, if God tells you something, stop making more messes out of your life. Going against what God tells you, destroying everything God gave you. Go back and say, Father, remember when he touched you. Remember that day where you felt him. Where were you drawn into? What did he tell you? Go back. If he told you to start nightly prayer, then do it. If he told you to go and anoint people, feed the poor, if he told you, you know, send these things for the poor, go for it. You don't even know what's going to happen when they receive it. And like Solomon said, let the bread go on the water, because you don't know. And it will come back. Eventually, it will come back. Let it go on the waters. That's what my dear ones, this sermon is for those that just missed their stop on their way to their call, that they miss it. They miss that. Stop. Just stop and remember what God told you. This is where I have to be. I'm going back. Yes, I'm sorry, Lord. I got into trouble. I shouldn't have been there. I'm going back where God was speaking to me. From here, I humble myself because you don't move yourself. He moves you. And you know what? And most of the time, you come into your kingdom from the darkest of places. Give God glory.